Okay, there's a couple people that are awake and that are here this morning. How about the rest of you? Are you awake this morning? Let's stand together. Can we do that? Maybe you got to shake yourself a little bit this morning. Get woke up. Get ready to bless God. Amen? I said maybe you got to shake yourself a little bit this morning. Get ready to bless God because He's here this morning. I want to invite you if you want to come around the front of the church this morning and be free to worship, be free to bless God, and give God every part this morning. And I want to encourage you that when you come this morning, you come first of all ready to bless God. Because guess what? Sometimes we come into the house of God and we go, God, I've come because I want you to bless me. But I want you to learn something, that we are blessed by God on a daily basis. All we have to do is accept the blessings of God. Amen. But then there's a time when we come and we say, God, I want to give back to you. And we come together in a corporate setting with corporate worship, and we get together. And guess what? When we all come in one accord, you remember in Acts chapter 2 that when they came in one accord, the Holy Spirit came and was in cloven tongues of fire upon their lap. Amen. I want that kind of move of God in this house. Amen. So let's come together this morning. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we invite your Spirit. Holy Spirit, we invite you in this morning. I pray, God, that you would begin to move. You would begin to be free to move up and down the aisles, in between the seats, God. And Father, that you would have your way this morning. And God, that we would be ready to bless you and honor you in everything that is done in this service. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Our God is a lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battle. Every knee will bow before him. Our God is a lamb, the lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. His blood breaks the chains. Every knee will bow before the lion and the lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before the lion and the lamb.
Come on, let's bless God this morning. He is worthy. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Sing, he's coming. He's coming on the clouds, kings and kingdoms will bow down. Every chain will break, with broken hearts declare his praise. For who can stop the Lord Almighty?
Our God is a lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. And every knee will bow before him. Our God is a lamb, the lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. His blood breaks the chains. And every knee will bow before the lion and the lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before the lion and the lamb.
God who comes to save is here to set the captives free. For who can stop the Lord? All singing,
our God is a lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before him.
Our God
is a lamb, the lamb that was slain for the sin.
stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Come on, sing. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? I said, who can stop? Who can stop the Lord? I know there's nobody. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Come on, declare that this morning.
Who can stop the Lord Almighty?
Who can stop my Savior?
Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Come on, come on. Who can stop the Lord? I said there's nobody. Who can stop the Lord?
There's nobody.
Who can stop the Lord?
Come on, church. Who can stop him?
Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord?
Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know there's a miracle in this place. And it's got my name all over it. I want you to know that there's a miracle inside this room, yes. And it's got your name. Your name is written on it. Because there's a healing. There is a healing in this room. And it is here for me. There is a breakthrough in this room, yes, and it has got my name on it. I'm gonna put a praise on it. Hallelujah. I said I'm gonna put a praise on it. Gotta sing it again, 'cause there is a miracle in this room. and it's got my name on it. If you came this morning, there's a healing. I said there's a healing in this room, and it is here for you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Some of you came this morning, and there's a breakthrough in this room, and it's got your name written all over it. But this is what you gotta do. You gotta put a praise on it. I said you gotta put a praise on it. Come on, here we go. This, the Bible tells us that we can come into the house of God, or we can come into our own special place with God, and we can put on a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So you know what that means? That means you got to take off the spirit of heaviness, because you can't put two coats on. You got to have that garment of praise, amen? So sing it with me. There's a miracle in this room with my name on it. Come on, sing it. There's a thrilling in this room, and it's here for me. There's a breakthrough in this room, it's got my name on it. Here we go.
I'm gonna put a praise on it.
What you gonna do this morning? Come on, come on.
I'm gonna put a praise on it.
Oh, sing it again. We're gonna put a praise. There's a miracle, sing it. There's a miracle in this room, got my name on it.
I've said it does.
There's a healing
in this room.
Come on,
and it's here for you.
Sing it again.
There's a breakthrough in this room.
Oh,
it's got my name on it.
From the top one more time. There's a miracle.
There's a miracle in this room. Got my name on it.
It's got David Israel Wilkerson written all over it.
In this room.
Yeah, and it's here for me. There's a breakthrough
in this room.
Oh, it's got your name on it.
I'm gonna put a praise on it.
Come on, put a praise on it. Your neighbor said, I'm gonna put praise on it. Spread it all around this morning.
I'm gonna put a praise on it.
Say, I'm gonna put a praise on it. Come on, here we go. I'm gonna put a praise.
I'm gonna put a praise.
Come on, church.
On
here
it.
We go. Are you gonna praise this morning? Get a little bounce in your step. Let's go
it.
This morning. Put on that garment of praise for the spirit of heaven.
I'm gonna put a praise
I said,
on
I'm gonna
it.
Put a praise on it. This morning,
I'm
gonna put a praise on it. What you gonna do? I got
to put a praise on it.
I gotta put a praise on it this morning. Did you come this morning to bless God? Come on, put that praise on it this morning, because He is worthy. Come on, this is burning. I said I got joy in my soul. I said I got joy. I got joy in my soul. God is in control. You know what? That sometimes I got Satan. He's right on my trail. But you know what? I know I don't just have to feel it. I know all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching will I pray. No matter, I said no matter. I said no matter the attack, I won't go back. Here we go, come on. Come on, church, get your praise on this morning. Hallelujah. Here we go from the top. I got joy in my soul, and God is in control. I got Satan on my trail. I'm singing all this well. He's attacking every day. I'm watching, will I pray? No matter the attack, I won't turn back.
This means war.
I said this means.
This means war.
What does it mean this morning?
This means war.
I said this means war.
This means war.
Hey, listen here. I've been storm in the rain, but the blood still stays the same. Whatever's going wrong, my war clothes are on. He's gonna be in a daze, but you can't have my praise. Don't matter the attack, I won't turn back.
This means war.
Come on, church, this means war.
This means war.
I said this means war.
This means war.
I won't sing it again.
This means war.
Hallelujah. Come on, let's plead the blood of Jesus. What do you do this morning?
I plead the blood.
I plead the blood over my family.
I plead the blood.
I plead the blood over my home.
I plead the blood.
There's healing in the blood of Jesus.
I plead the blood.
Nothing but the blood.
I plead the blood.
Cause this means war. I said this means.
This means war.
I said this means. Plead the blood again.
This means war.
Yeah. Get ready. Begin to plead the blood.
I plead the blood.
What you do this morning?
I plead the blood.
Come on, plead the blood of Jesus.
I plead the blood.
Oh, one more time, I plead the blood.
I plead the blood.
This means war. I said this means.
This means war.
You know that this means.
You can't have my increase.
You can't have my breakthrough. No,
you can't have my breakthrough.
I said you can't have my family.
You can't have my family.
No, you can't have my increase.
You can't have my increase.
You can't have my breakthrough.
You can't have my breakthrough.
I said you can't have my family.
You can't have my family.
You can't have my increase.
You can't have my increase.
You can't.
You can't have.
I plead the blood.
I
Yes, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you can testify of the goodness of Jesus Christ this morning, I want you to shout. If you can testify of the goodness of Jesus Christ this morning, I want you to shout praise. Hallelujah. Yes, amen. You provide the fire, yeah, yeah. I'll provide the sacrifice. You provide the spirit, yeah, yeah. I will open up inside. Sing it again. You provide the fire.
I'll provide the sacrifice.
Come on now. You provide the spirit. Yes. Come on. All you gotta do is open up.
Fill me
overflow, sweet Jesus.
Fill
your spirit flow over this place this morning. Sing it again. Fill me up, God. Yes, we need you to fill us. Sing it with me. Ready? Get ready to sing. Fill me up till I overflow, because I want to run over. Fill me up till I overflow.
This morning, God, we want to run over with what we have best, and that is love. Father, we know this, that there are three things, but one is greater, and that is love. Fill us so full of your love this morning, Jesus. God, some people in this room need it. Lord, they feel like they're worthless. They feel like they have no value. Lord, I pray for a baptism of love in their life this morning. Lord, for those, Jesus, who I've heard them say, God, in past times, I don't even like people. God, I pray that we'll have the heart of heaven and we will love people. That, Jesus, this house be known as a place that loves people. So, Jesus, we just want to love you. For we know if we love you more, your love will automatically flow through us. It's an old song. Oh, how I love Jesus.
And oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. And oh, how I love Jesus.
Because he first loved me.
Because he first.
Come on, sing it with your hands lifted high. Let's love on Jesus this morning.
Oh, how I love Jesus.
How I really love it.
Oh, how I love Jesus. And oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
Hallelujah. Father, we just repent this morning if we love anything else more than you. Jesus, we ask that you bring us back to the cross, that Jesus would be zealous therefore and repent and return to our first works, which is loving you more than anybody and anything. So Lord, as we sing this again to you, we ask that you'll just realign our lives, that our love for you will be the pinnacle, and that nobody else, Jesus, will be able to take your place in our lives. Come on, let's sing it to him. Come on, sing it to Jesus. Sing it to Jesus. Thank you so much, Jesus. Thank you for all you've done in our lives this morning. Lord, we don't even know we'd be today without you. God, there are folks in the house this morning who don't know you. And I thank you that by the end of this service, they're going to see, to taste and see that the Lord is good. Jesus, loving you brings all purpose to our life. Lord, thank you that even when we seem to digress and we love the world a little bit more, Father, you'll always realign us because you love us. Before we even loved you, you loved us. Thank you for pursuing us, Holy Spirit. We love you so much. You know, I know there are folks in the house, and I'm from New England. And in New England, everyone's very stoic. Anybody know what stoic means? Stoic means that there is no reaction, no facial reaction, no body reaction. But you know, can you imagine walking up to your spouse all the time and saying,
"Hi, I love you."
Never hugging them. No emotions. Your spouse after a while is going to start wondering. Because if there's no emotion, then you've got to wonder the connection. See, whenever there's a connection, there's always an emotion. And you know, if you want to remember something, when emotion touches a memory, it burns into your brain. And today, I want to sing that again. Some of you show no reaction. Can I ask you to do that? Not for me. I mean, it doesn't do anything for me. But maybe it's raising your hands half staff. Maybe it's kneeling at your chair. Maybe it's just, I don't know. I just know that he needs a little bit of your emotion. Amen? He wants you to connect with him today. This is not a stoic song. It's not some religious little cliche that we're babbling on during song service. We're singing to our Jesus, who washed all of our sins away, who gave us the right to become sons and daughters of God, that when we die today, we don't have to wonder, will I be in heaven? There's a peace that passes all understanding. He's a great counselor. He is the I am that I am. You see, we serve a living God, not a dead God. So when we sing that again, if you're a non-emotional person, listen, I'm like I said, I'm from New England. We're used to that. But I challenge you to step out and show Jesus some emotion this morning. You don't have to weep or cry. I'm not a crier. I remember one time I was in Bible school, and this evangelist came in and said, "If you don't cry, your heart's not soft before God." Oh, my goodness. I was a mess because for a whole week I'm trying to cry. I'm trying to push it out. I'm trying to make myself cry. I'm not crying at all. And so I went to one of my teachers and I said, "You know, I guess my heart must be hard because I don't cry." And he goes, "What are you talking about? That's stupid." He said, we all respond to Christ differently with different levels of emotion. You might not be a crier. My grandfather, when the Spirit of God came on him, he would laugh. He always sat on this side of the congregation, like about five rows back on the outside edge, not in this church, but on 9 Wassa Street in Gardner, Massachusetts. And he would just laugh. So show something to the Lord today, not for me, but for him. So let's sing some. Let's sing a love song to Jesus. Amen. Let's sing a love song to Jesus.
Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Love this morning. Thank you, Jesus. I tell you, the one thing you'll learn quickly is one of the greatest and fastest way out of your trouble is to praise. Because when your eyes are looking up, you can't be looking down. If you do, you need surgery. Amen? We have a lot of believers that need surgery. They think they're looking up, but they're looking down. You can't only look in one direction. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Amen. I said amen. I said amen. Why don't you go tell a few folks, I love Jesus. Don't sit down. Please go find somebody you don't know. We're a friendly church.
It's time to sign up for the next Women's Encounter. October 27th through 29th is the weekend you don't want to miss. The total cost is $325. It includes everything. We only have 9 spots left, so get your $100 deposit to me as soon as possible, no later than August 15th. For more information and details, see me or email me at carla@histabernacle.com.
The God that I serve is the only true and living God, and his name is Jehovah.
He left heaven, came to this earth just to die for me and just to die for you.
We need a revival of the B-I-B-L-E and people that are going to follow the truth of Jesus without shame.
What you thought that you would never flow in to an extent, the power is coming into your ministry.
When you begin to lay hands on the sick, they've got to recover, because there's the DNA of miracle power in your body. Hallelujah. For your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost.
The Shuttlesworths have been doing this for generations, and they are known from all around the world. And now, they are coming to you.
Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, I'm excited about Rock the City. Amen? It has been so exciting to see what God has been doing through you. Turn to someone and say, thank God for you. It has been amazing how many lives have been touched and changed. We just, yesterday, we were at the funeral for little Jeremiah, a 12-year-old young man that died of a gunshot this last week. And many of you don't know how your life touches them. You might be saying, well, I never met him. I don't know him. But yesterday at the funeral, I was able to speak a little bit. And I know people were wondering, what was the connection of His Tabernacle Family Church? My wife and Melissa G, LaRue, and a bunch of other folks, they were his teachers on Thursday nights. And then, after Thursdays, I know Minister Palko led him to salvation in Jesus' name. She actually walked him through salvation. He confessed Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And then he went into Rock Solid Faith. Then he went to Uproar, which is our youth ministry, with the entire team. And then, what many people don't even know, one of our pastors was praying with the parents as they were taking him away in the ambulance. You see, it's amazing to recognize how you have been involved and God has used you to bring at least some level of sanity to an insane situation. You might be saying, well, how am I involved with that? Because you're part of this house. Because you're part of the ones that give, and you're part of the ones that are involved in different ministries that are in the house of God. Nothing happens by one man. This is never going to be a one-man show, amen? This is all of us working together to get God's work done. And I just want to say thank you. You made a difference in a family's life yesterday at the funeral. And it was very sad. You know one thing we found, which really my wife observed that I didn't observe, was that the children that come on the bus on Thursdays, you know, if you have a child, and I know that we all come from different backgrounds, and sometimes it's difficult if you've never been around the background of somebody that's not as blessed as you are. You know, their language is different, their actions are different. But I would challenge you, if you don't want your child to be involved maybe at that level, maybe they can come and serve. We have families, whole families, that will come and serve together. The children will come and minister to the other children. I want you to know that that's available to you. But one thing we found was this. The children that were at the funeral yesterday, many of them, if not all of them, come on the bus, either on Wednesday night or Thursday. They came alone. It was the saddest thing, seeing that not one parent came with their child to this funeral. Not only do they have to participate with life alone, many of them, they had to participate with death alone. But thank God for your pastoral staff. I want to thank the Lord for the staff of His Tabernacle Family Church, the pastors and the ministers. We had a strong representation yesterday. And I remember my wife, as we're standing in the last viewing of the child, all the children were passing by us, and my wife knows them personally more than I do because she was in their class. But she was hugging them and loving them, and I just want to say thank you. Because we're not here to suck air. We're not here to just get our own thing out of life. We're here to give. Amen? And I thank God that this house is a giving house. I think that this house is a loving house. I thank God that this house is a house that truly wants to change the region. We were just invited to His Thousand Hills. I don't know how many of you know, we have many folks in this church that travel over an hour to church every single week. And many of them, many times a week, they come. And his Thousand Hills, I mean, they bring up buses, for goodness sakes, of people. We love you. They come from Wellsboro, Pennsylvania. They travel about an hour and a quarter to come to the house of God. And their family's here many times, two and three times a week. And I just want to thank God for them. Amen. What a phenomenal ministry. And we were invited down. When we did the uproar, the conference, there was a group at their camp that were their Nigerian church from New Jersey. And they came and God touched them. I mean, God plastered many of them. It was awesome. And this last week, they were there 2 weeks. They invited us to come down and to speak and to minister on Friday, just before they were leaving on Saturday. So we went down, and Cody, Chad, and myself, and my wife, and their wives went down, and I believe near 30 children received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, was speaking with other tongues right there in that room. Everybody's going around laying hands on. Just powerful time. Then we were able to speak to the leaders, and it was a Nigerian church. I love Nigerian church. I love how they worship. I wish I could dance a little more Nigerian. Maybe Pastor Obi can teach me. But it was so cool, and we were able to minister to the ministers, able to minister to their leaders. And then I was able to meet their pastor, and the pastor looked at me and said, you know, my wife was actually the pastor of the church, and now I am because she passed away. He said, I really don't know much. Can you help me? I want you to know that we've talked about being a regional church many times, but I need you to recognize that this house is touching the region. That this house is touching not just New Jersey, but we also minister in Syracuse. We have churches in Philadelphia. We have churches down all the way in Oklahoma that we help and we encourage and we build and we strengthen. This is a regional church, and you are making a regional difference. It is not just words, but it truly is happening. And every week, in fact, I know there's one gentleman. Hi, Chris. He's watching from Florida right now, down near Orlando. He's watching. He just sent me a text a little bit. I'm watching, Pastor, in second service. People from all over the United States, over 100 computers a week, are online participating all over the world with what you and I are doing right here in the middle of this cornfield. God is using you to change many lives. And I just want to say, as your pastor, thank you. We appreciate that. We do want to say welcome to all of our guests. If you're a very first-time guest at His Tabernacle Family Church, we're not going to make you stand or do anything weird, but we have a gift for you. If you're a first-time guest, if you'll raise your hand, we want to bring the gift right to your chair. Is there any first-time guests at His Tabernacle Family Church? Could you just raise your hand? No, you guys are not. You're interns. Oh, wow, look at all the folks on this side. Hallelujah. Anybody else, first-time guest? There's a young boy. Yeah, very first time in the bank. Anybody else? First-time guest. Oh, right there, young lady. How are you? Right over here, Susan. Right there's a young lady right there. Very good. We're going to pass it behind you. Coming behind you, honey. Anybody else? First-time guest. No. Can we give all of our first-time guests a hand clap this morning? Thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much. We do want to welcome all of our family online, our online campus. Can we give them a hand clap as well? In the early service, we actually did the intro and exit for one of the TV shows. How many of you recognize that every week on ABC at 7:30 a.m. and at 8 o'clock a.m., we are ministering on the television? The television program goes all the way to Alfred University, Wellsboro, Pennsylvania, Troy, Pennsylvania, almost all the way to Binghamton and into Ithaca. We are truly a regional church, and God is using you to change lives. Turn to someone and say, thank you so very much for giving.
Amen. I just want to continue on what Pastor said. You know, this past week, it has just been overwhelming, compelling to do more for the kingdom of God, even than what we've been doing. I spoke with Pastor Cody yesterday because after I left the funeral, I just was overwhelmed with what some of these kids have to go through and the experience. And we talked about it, and he was saying he wants to have a Nikki Cruz grown up in this ministry here. And then, oh, people don't know who Nikki Cruz is. Nikki Cruz was a bad dude, hardcore in the gangs, and God saved his life. And actually, he got his call to ministry right here in Elmira, New York. He got called to ministry, and he serves God powerfully. But I want more than one Nikki Cruz. I want 50 Nikki Cruises. Actually, I want every single one of these young people that we minister to on Wednesdays and Thursdays. I want every one of them to raise up and be powerful men and women of God. I declare that the seeds that this church has sown will grow up and mature in every single one of them, and they will be powerful men and women of God. You, these are those that have turned the world upside down. And it is so exciting to participate with that. We also, this past week, we were in the fair every single day of the week, morning till night. Many of you volunteered at the fair. What an awesome time to be able to share Jesus. It is not just handing out a balloon. It is sharing Jesus. I got to talk to a woman. Her name is Betsy. Maybe she's listening. Betsy, I can't wait to see you in the house of God. It's in those places that we get to go out and share in our community. So I want to read a scripture passage to you real quickly. And it's in Romans 10:15. And it says, how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And we as a body of Christ are telling them on Sunday on the TV stations, on live stream, on our online campus. On Monday nights we have classes, Tuesday nights, Wednesdays and Thursdays we're ministering to the young people. How can they know unless we tell them? And it goes on to say, and how will anyone go tell them unless they are sent? You see, it is such a joy and such a privilege to give in a house of God where they are sent. We are putting our finances to send them out to tell the good news of Jesus to a generation that needs hope. We are the ones that have turned this world upside down. And it says, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers that bring good news. So family of God, you are the messengers that bring good news. So today as we give, we rejoice in our giving because we are the ones that will turn this region and this world upside down. Stand to your feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration. But this morning, when you make this declaration, I want you to know, God wants you blessed. God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his people. Why does he take pleasure in the prosperity? You know, he doesn't want you just making enough to get by, where you can't pay your bills and you can barely buy enough food for yourself. He wants you to be so blessed that you can give to every good work. So we can take this gospel to every street and every person and every home. He wants you blessed so that you can give, so that he can be glorified, so that we can turn the world upside down. So when you speak this today, I want you to prophesy over your situation, because blessing is coming to your house. Favor is coming. Increase is coming to your business. Jobs and promotion are coming to you. Now, I just have to stop for a minute, because it doesn't fall out of the sky. God does not reward the lazy. You cannot bury your gift and think it's going to open up the windows of heaven and fall in your lap. We have to go, and when we go, God blesses everything that we touch. He brings increase to everything that we have. So he wants his people prosperous. So as we declare this today, I want you to say it as if you're prophesying. You are speaking words that will cause it to happen. You will not be in the same place you are financially today next year. You will not be, because God desires to prosper you. Why? So his kingdom can come on earth as it is in heaven. So let's get excited about our giving. Deuteronomy 28 says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in. Come on, I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. And I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. Blessings.
gonna put a brake on it.
Don't you just love the Lord? You know, one thing that I want you to be praying about as well, we do reach out to people that are less fortunate than we are, but we're praying for some creative ideas also to reach into the homes of the wealthy, of the middle class and upper middle class and the wealthy. You know, many times people, we forget about them. Their money doesn't get them to heaven. Only Jesus gets someone to heaven. Amen? And many times, no one's reaching them either. In fact, it's amazing how many of us are prejudiced against people who have finances. It's true. We think that for whatever reason, because they got money, they got life in their pocket. Listen, Steve Jobs couldn't pay his way out of cancer. Money doesn't mean anything. You know, it helps in this world. It's a blessing in this world. It helps us trade in this world. It helps us bless the house of God in this world. But it's not the answer. There's only one answer, and his name is Jesus. Amen? So I'm praying also not only to reach into the communities with our buses, but also reach into the communities that can drive their own cars. And there are folks in this world that we live in, many people don't realize, even in Elmira, we're in the top. Pastor Andre, how does that go? Is it the top? Is it percentile? How does that, with the millionaires, and we're in the top five. We're in the top five of number of millionaires in our size of community in America, and we need to reach them for Jesus. Has nothing to do with their money. They need Jesus too, and people need the Lord. Amen. So it's not just poor. I don't want us to just always think poor. There are people that have the means on this earth, but they don't have Jesus. They need Jesus too. So I'm praying for creative ideas. So if you get a creative idea from God, make sure you get a hold of us. And we want to listen to your creative idea that God is planting in your spirit to reach people that are middle, upper middle, and also wealthy people. We just are believing God to fill this house with the face of heaven, which represents everything. Amen? We want to do, I love baby dedications. How many of you love baby dedications? Can I have all the families that are going to have their babies dedicated, if you'll please come forward and meet me right up here in the front with you and your families? Look at the babies come. Hi, honey. Look at the babies. For those who are guests in the house, we want you to know that this is not the same as in other religions and denominations. This will not get a baby to heaven, okay? There are other groups that teach that if a baby is dedicated, look at the babies. If the babies are dedicated, that means they're going to heaven, and it's not true. Wow, come on, you're stud. What a baby dedication is in its difference is that it really is spurring the parents and the grandparents and the uncles and aunts. Let me read this to you. We all know the story of Hannah. If you don't, you can go back to 1 Samuel chapter 1. Hannah was barren. which in those days was like the worst thing that could ever happen to a woman. Not only barren, but not having a man child was horrible. And so here she was, she couldn't have a man child. And she was weeping before the Lord one day, and the prophet of God thought she was drunk and actually rebuked her. And she said, no, I'm not drunk. And the prophecy came forth that she had a child, a man child. And Samuel became a great prophet of God. And this is what she said after he was weaned. She said, oh, my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman that stood before you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked from him. Therefore, I also have lent Samuel to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worshiped the Lord there, and so on and so forth. So what happened, and what we're doing, baby dedication. Give me a hug, honey. Hi. This is a microphone. You want to say hello?
Hello, everyone.
It's amazing when we as parents are saying, this child's not mine, I'm loaning it to the Lord. It does a lot of things. That means we're, many times in today's world, parents make their children their God. Children are running many households. And it has to be changed around. We have to get back to the place where these children are not ours. They're God's. Listen, you and I can't protect the kids. Let's be honest. You and I can't really protect the kids, but God can protect our kids. And God has a great plan for all of these children. Isn't it exciting? A great plan. These children weren't born to suck air. These children were born because God's got a divine plan. Yes, sir, with your suit. Who knows? You might be the next Billy Graham. You just never know. Well, we know you're not quiet. You got this thing, huh? Hi, baby. How are you? You're so beautiful. You have a great smile, too. You got mommy's smile, huh? And look at these two babies. These are miracle babies. Hallelujah. We love seeing the babies come. Well, why? Because this is the next generation of ministry. And so today, parents, this is more for you than the baby. You're making a declaration that you're going to raise this child up, these children up, in the love and the admonition of the Lord, which means this. You are going to make sure they know how to pray. You're going to make sure they know how to read the word. You're going to make sure they know that being in the house of God is important every single Sunday. You're going to make sure that they're involved in ministry because you're going to lead them in ministry. See, if you will do ministry, your children will do ministry. If you'll read the word, your children will read the word. If you'll pray at home, your children will pray at home. In our house, it was really normal for us to walk around praying tongues all the time. So I remember when Cody came to me at 4 years old and says, I want that too, Daddy. So I remember laying hand. It was on 531 West Water Street. I laid hands on him in that little living room, and he got baptized in the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues. Our granddaughter, if you saw the video, man, that just can't be babble. I mean, it's too pronounced. Just good stuff. I believe our kids can be baptized in the Holy Ghost, but they'll only be filled if you're filled. They'll only be faithful if you'll be faithful. And if we're going to lend the children to the Lord, then what we're doing is we're saying, God, I have decided to make sure that these children will have everything they need for success in your kingdom. Amen? So let's pray for the babies. Are you ready? That's all right. If they get a little antsy, I'm antsy too. So. I know. But just think, pastor's not even having to hold you. If pastor held you, you'd cry. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. The only children that don't cry when I'm here are usually the kids that were in their mother's tummies while I was preaching. So you ready? Let's pray for the children. Everybody reach your hands out. Let's pray for the babies. Father, we thank you for these children. God, before they were ever formed, you knew them. Before you said, let there be light, you already have a plan for them. God, I thank you that their parents that are lending them to you will declare that you will protect them. You will bring them to the place of their posture and success for why they're on this planet. Lord, I charge every parent that stands here today, and I declare in the name of Jesus that, Father, you will convict them strongly if they're not praying with their children. That you will convict them strongly if they're not consistent to the house of God. That you will convict them strongly if they're not in ministry. For Lord, we have made a decision and a vow before you today, even as Hannah did, that we will choose to make sure that these children have everything they need in godliness, that they will fulfill their destiny on this planet. In the name of Jesus, and everybody said, amen. Can we give the babies and the moms and dads a hand clap? Come on, give them a hand clap this morning. Thank you so much. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. We love you. We love you. We love you. We love you. Don't you love the babies? Love the babies. We had to open a new nursery because we ran out of room. How many of you know Brenda Ostrander? Brenda Ostrander is in charge of our children's ministry at the church. And she ministers, well, there's over 270 children a month that go through the other side of that wall. That doesn't include on Wednesday nights. That's another 120 or 130 children. She pastors more people than most pastors in this area. She's a dynamic woman of God. And I would challenge you, if you would love to be participating in investing in the next generation, we don't do babysitting here. We do investing here. And so I would challenge you to go to the hub or go to the children's section and say, I would love to sow some time into these kids. We ask that you just do once a month. You don't have to do five times a month. Go once a month, and you'll find that your investment in the next generation is worth every moment. Amen? Well, I haven't preached in 3 weeks. I'm ready. It's an exciting day. I just love the word that God placed in my heart. This is the year of... That is so sad. I said, this is the year of... Come on, Brother Steve, a little bit louder. This is the year of... Kingdom seed. The Bible makes the declaration, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And one of the main principles in the book of Genesis in chapter 1 is the principle of seed time and harvest. That everything that you are is a compilation of the seeds that we have planted in our lives. You know, today, if you don't like your life, you've got to ask yourself what seeds you've planted to get the harvest that you're participating with. There's a need for us to get back to the word of the Lord and understand that his principles supersede the world's. And if we live according to the world, the Bible says, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. We've got to get back to the Bible. We've got to get back to the word of God. We've got to get back and understand that it is not just a religious book or religious writ, but it truly is the words that have come from heaven. And God's word is yea and amen. He holds his word even above his name. And today we stand here declaring not a religion, not a tradition, not a nice little saying, not a nice little homily. We are preaching God's word, unadulterated, so that you will know that it will change your life. Can I hear an amen? The seeds of our words are a harvest. We talked about how everything we do deals with the harvest of our lives. How our thoughts, how our time, how our hearts and the reception of the seeds. How now we've been talking about our words. We talked about the principle of the firsts. How many of you remember the principle of the firsts? The principle is this, that every time you see something done the first time, it is a principle in God's word that is strong and solid. The very first words that came out of God's mouth, we see are creative and blessing. The first words out of Adam's mouth were blessing. And he blessed his wife. The first words out of Eve's life were this. She allowed a dialogue with Lucifer. And the very first words out of Satan's mouth that we see in the Bible was to bring doubt to the words of God himself. So every time you see a first, there's a need to lay hold of a principle that is there. The very job of the devil, the Bible says, don't be ignorant of the devil's devices. It hasn't changed how he works with mankind. He strives to divide, and what he does is he always brings doubt to the words of God. If God's word brings doubt to your life, or doubt is brought according to God's word, then you will not be able to stand in faith. God is not moved by your need. God is not moved by your hope. God is moved by faith. So if the devil can steal your faith, in fact, I preached that not too long ago. The devil's not after your family. The devil's not after your money. The devil's not after your church attendance. The devil is after your faith. Because if the devil can get your faith, then he has everything else. And we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the less the word of God in you, the less faith you have, the less faith you have, the less trust you have, the less trust you have, the less you will believe that God is able to do abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. So faith is imperative, and the first words that came out of the devil's mouth were saying that God's word is not true. The first words out of Eve, she actually created a talk with the devil and started agreeing with him that God's word was not truly God's word. Many of us deal with this same thing in our lives. When trouble comes into our life, we would rather believe what the doctor says. We'd rather believe what the world says. We'd rather believe what our circumstances say. We'd rather believe what our trouble is troubling, rather than stand firm in God's word and say, if God has said it, then I will not allow doubt to come. I will stand in faith no matter what the circumstances declare. I will not be moved, for in him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being. There comes a place in your walk with God, you have got to make a decision that God's word is not just a nice book, but truly the words that came from heaven for us today. And it is life for you and I to live. Can I hear an amen? Our verse for the year is Psalms 1 verse 3, and it says this: you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither. That means there are dry times coming, but your leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Our words are creative. Our words are life-giving. Our words can also cancel and cause doubt and disenfranchise us from God's best. And I find that many believers are in that posture. They love God. They've accepted Jesus as their Savior. But they do not live a level of blessing and success that God has promised in his word. So we've had to create new doctrine. The doctrine is to pacify and placate those who cannot and have not lived within God's principles. Therefore, they live substandard. So they live substandard, and now somebody's got to give an excuse that's spiritual so they feel validated. Are you with me this morning? You see, the words that we speak position us for blessing or for cursing. The very words out of your mouth. Every one of us got up this morning. We've spent time this morning. The 11 o'clock service. So you had, let's just hopefully say you had at least 3 hours. Maybe you got up at 7. Had breakfast. Talked with your family. The question that you've got to ask yourself are, what are the words that came out of my mouth before I ever came into church? The reason, have you ever wondered why we sing praise and worship first? The Bible says, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. Well, praise is words. When you start looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, when you start to praise and worship him, you're not looking down, you're looking up. So all of a sudden, things change. Your position changes because your words are changing. And many believers live in the Colosseum that their words are bringing death to their life rather than life to their life. They allow others to speak death in their atmosphere. Therefore, life and death are in the power of the tongue, as it declares in the book of Proverbs. I want to show you this and how powerful it is. How many of you know that Jesus Christ was our greatest example? How many of you want to live like Jesus lived? You see, Jesus didn't live a life that we could not live. You see, Jesus lived a life that we can live. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and Jesus went about doing good, healing all those oppressed of the devil. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. The reason that God said how God sent Jesus of Nazareth was to remind us that Jesus was all God in the flesh and all flesh. He gave up, according to Philippians chapter 2, all of his heavenly glory to come down here and live as a man. That means that everything that Jesus did on this planet, you and I are able to do. We are able to live in success. We are able to live in blessing. We are able to live in the miraculous. We're able to live in the supernatural. We're able to call those things which are not as though they already are. We're able to live even sinless if we desire. Many believers come to this place where we just allow the world's ways to rule us more than God's way. And the challenge with that is it goes against the opportunity that he's given us in Psalms 1 verse 3. Whatever he does shall prosper cannot happen because most people cancel the blessing of God in their life right on the precipice of their answer. Open your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Mark chapter 11 verses 12 through 14. Is a great example about how you and I really have to realign ourselves back with the Word of God. I want to remind you that Jesus is the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. That Jesus made the declaration, I only do what the Father has told me to do. I only go and say what the Father has told me to say. Dealing with the Word of God. You see, Jesus is the Word. Shout that out loud with me. Jesus is the Word. Come on, shout it out again. Jesus is the Word. So what Jesus has done is he's showing us how heaven works. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on as it is in. On what? On as it is in. So God is showing that we can bring heaven to earth. God is showing that we're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. God is showing us that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. God is showing us that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. God is showing us that we have the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. It's time for us to recognize that you are not of this world. We might be in this world because we're occupying until he comes, but we are not governed by this world's principles. We are governed by the Word of God. Jesus was on an adventure one day. He had gone to Jerusalem and he had seen all the vendors in Jerusalem's church. And it irritated him. It irritated him enough because there is something called righteous indignation. When you're ticked off about something that is just absolutely wrong. And he walked into his father's house. He walked into the synagogue and saw them selling pigeons and saw them taking advantage of people. And he saw them manipulating people. And it irritated the tar out of him. So what he decided to do was, I'm going to go to Lazarus's house. So he looked at the disciples and he said, let's go to Lazarus's house, guys. And so they get on a road and they start heading to Lazarus's house. On the way, an event happened that will change you and I to where if we understand the Word of God and how powerful it is, we grab a hold of the principles in this text, we can literally change the very atmospheres and circumstances that we are enveloped in. The Bible says, on their way to Bethany, and the next day when they had come out of Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing afar off a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he could find something on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not even the season for figs. In response, Jesus said, everybody shout, Jesus said. Come on, shout it out loud. Jesus said, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. So watch this now. Jesus is passing by a fig tree. It's got leaves, but no figs on it. It wasn't seasoned. So this had nothing to do with whether or not Jesus was going to eat. Yes, he was hungry, but he was making a point to the disciples. And this was the point. He looked at the fig tree and he said, let no one eat from you again, which means he spoke to the tree. One thing that many believers don't recognize in the scripture, Jesus never prayed for a sick person in the Bible. He never prayed for one sick person. Every time that Jesus spoke to a sick person, he spoke to the sickness that was in their body. The closest he came to praying to God, a prayer for a sick person, was when Lazarus was in the grave. And Jesus went over and he prayed right out loud, and this is what he said. Father, that they may know you and I are one. That's the closest he came to praying for a sick person. And then he spoke to Lazarus in the grave. You see, this is the power that God has given us. I want to remind you that God at creation didn't just brew it to happen. He said, let there be light, and there was light. God has given the creative power of words to only one people on this planet. And that is those that are created in his image. For God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. So you and I have the capabilities, like nobody else or nothing else on this planet, to speak words and they be creative in power. Are you out there this morning? So seeing this fig tree far off, he said, let no one eat fruit from you again. And this is what happened. And his disciples heard it. Now, one thing that I found was very interesting about this is when you continue reading, something's happened here that is powerful. Now, let me continue reading with this here in Mark chapter 11, verse 20 through 24. Now, in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from its roots. And Peter, remembering, said to Jesus, Rabbi, look! I love that. You know what's so funny about that? Peter is so taken aback that it actually worked. You know, Jesus wasn't saying, yeah, wow, Pete, it really did work. That's stinking cool. No, Jesus the day before looked at that fig tree and he spoke to it and he, with the power of words, said, let no one eat from you ever again. And the disciples heard it. On the way back the next day, the disciples, and Pete especially saw it, he looked and he said, wow, Rabbi, it really died. It really worked. Isn't that amazing? And Jesus was not amazed at all. Why was Jesus not amazed? Because he understood the principles of the kingdom of God. You see, we are seeking the kingdom and how the kingdom works. Yes, you are of this world. Yes, we must occupy till he comes. But we are governed by kingdom principles, for we are seated in heavenly places. We must understand that we obey the laws of the land unless they conflict with the kingdom's principles. But here we are, people empowered, not people of weakness. And when we understand God's principles, then we can call those things which are not as though they already are. See, the power of words change everything in your life. I didn't do a lot of study. I just saw it online. But there was a study done by a child, and they took three plants. This plant over here, they spoke life to. They would talk nice to it, speak life, speak growth to it. The one in the middle, they ignored. And then the one in the end, they always spoke death to it. These were children doing this study. And what they found when it was concluded was the ones they spoke life to, these plants thrived. The ones who were ignored really just kind of sat there and did their thing. But the ones that were cursed did not thrive, but we're deprived. You see, this principle that is a kingdom principle works even with everything that is around us. For life and death are in the power of your words. This is not some nice little religious thought process. This is the word of the living God. And God, by nature, even at creation, even with Christ, he sent his word to heal us. The Bible says, even Jehovah Rapha, the word was sent. Who's the word? Jesus is the word. So every time the word is spoken, there is supernatural release in the power of God. See, this is why the devil works so hard with, remember the first principle. The first thing you hear the devil say is, did God really say that? Is that really true what God said? Lucifer's master plot and plan is to bring doubt into your mind, bring doubt into your words, bring death to your statements, bring death to your situation, bring death to your life. Man, it's so powerful to recognize that this is not a natural principle, but a supernatural principle. Whether you like it or not, it is invoked in you, and the words that you speak are literally forming your life around you. It's scary when you really look at it, because so many of us live haphazard. We don't pay attention. We just babble so much. We talk too much. You know, people really believe that their opinion means something. You ever been around somebody like that? They always got to give you their opinion. Shut up. Why do you always got to give your opinion? Whether you recognize it or not, your words are either breeding life or death within that individual, within that person. You ever seen somebody so chipper and so excited, and someone walks up to them and says, "What are you so happy about? What's wrong with you? Man, I got God." Yeah, that religion stuff. Well, if you had my life, well, if you knew my situation. See, your situation does not change or create your atmosphere. Your financial background does not change your atmosphere. It doesn't matter whether you're brought up from the lowest points of history with individuals, whether you're brought up in the ghetto or you're brought up with a silver spoon. The only thing that brings us to the place of understanding how God's kingdom works is understanding that the words that we speak are either life and or death. And when Jesus spoke to that tree had to obey, because life and death are in the power of the tongue. And even though the disciples were mesmerized, Jesus was not, because he understood the power of words. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For without question, I say to you, whoever says about shout say, if you say to this mountain, 'Be removed, be cast into the sea,' and do not doubt in his heart, he believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you've received them, and you will have them." See, every one of us are dealing with some kind of mountain in our life. If you're not, at some point in time, hell will start licking your toes. When trouble comes to our lives, the direct response with your words is going to create a harvest. If the doctor comes and says you got a bad report, you're going to die, you have the opportunity to say, "Thank you, doctor, for all you've done. I know you're doing your best. You're practicing. I appreciate your attempts. But I want you to know that I believe the word of God even above your report." The Bible declares in the book of Isaiah, "Whose report will you believe? I'm going to believe the report of the Lord." When you're having problems with the bank, the problem is not the bank. "For we fight not against flesh and blood." You've got to ask yourself, "Oh God, I've got to make a declaration. I'm going to seed, because anytime I'm in need, I seed. And when I seed, I'm going to proctor that seed and declare that it's going to grow and it's going to bring forth fruit that shall not only remain, but I'll have more than enough even to give somebody else." This is what I see usually. Let's be honest now. Good believers, they love Jesus. Grand hearts. Man, they're excited when everything's going good, but all of a sudden something happens in their life that is not good. Immediately, where I watch most believers, they do this. Instead of declaring faith, instead of declaring the word, "Well, you know, I guess, I don't know, everything's falling apart around me." Bam! And it will. "My life is hell." Bam! And it will be. "Well, I don't care anymore." Bam! Exactly what you just said. Where's God? God's not moved by your hope. God's not moved by your need. God's moved by your faith. So many believers stop believing the word when everything's not going their way. But that's when you're supposed to stand upon the word of God. That's when you're supposed to decree the word of God. That's when you're supposed to stand and make the declaration, just like Jesus did. Jesus didn't just do this here. Jesus did this many times. Remember Matthew chapter 8, Jesus is on a boat. Jesus said, we're going to the other side. Now remember, Jesus only said what the Father told him to say, only went where the Father told him to go. So we know that the Father told him to go to the other side. So here he's on the boat, and he took a nap. How many of you wouldn't mind a nap maybe this afternoon? You know, he took a nap. He's like snoozing, and all of a sudden, I want to remind you that there are professional fishermen on this boat. A storm came up. A tempest came up. Trouble came up in their lives, and it was so much that the waves were covering the boat, and they went frantic on Jesus. Where is he? Where is he? He's asleep on the boat. So they went and woke up Jesus. What did Jesus say to them? Oh, ye of little faith. Why did he say that to them? Because the word said, we're going to the other side. I said, the word said, we're going to the other side. No, I said, the word said, we're going to the other side. So when they went frantic, whose word were they believing? See, this is the reality of walking with God. Because life isn't always easy. What separates, what actually brings us to the place where we're going to be successful is understanding the principle, not when everything is good, but it is literally tried out when it's going through trials. All of a sudden, things are just falling apart. What are you going to do? What words are going to come out of your mouth? Are you going to disengage the supernatural, or are you going to engage the supernatural? Listen, if you could do it yourself, you would have already had it done. So why are you living in that realm? When you get a hold of this, there's nothing impossible for those who believe. When you get a hold of this, you can say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and do not doubt in your heart, and you shall have what you ask. There comes a place in your walk with the Lord that when trials are coming your way, you don't sit there and moan and complain. You don't sit there and speak death to it. You don't sit there and agree with it like Eve did in the garden. You take a stand for those who are built upon the rock. Who's the rock? Christ Jesus is the rock. Who's the rock? Jesus. Jesus is also the word, which means that when hell starts coming, when the wind starts coming, when the waves start coming, you see, that's what happened. And when Jesus stood on the end of that boat, he just spoke. He didn't pray, oh God, I pray that you'll move divinely upon our situation. We're in fear on this boat. I pray that you'll just make the waves to calm or send a survival boat out to get us. Jesus stood at the end of the boat after he rebuked the disciples for having no faith, and he said this, peace, be still. He spoke to the winds. He spoke to the waves. He spoke to nature. You see, you and I have been given divine authority. The Bible declares that Jesus said, in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord on the earth, under the earth, and in the earth. You and I have divine authority. It's called exousia. It's the Greek word for authority. You have divine authority given to you by God himself. Jesus said, it's found in Matthew chapter 28. He said, all authority has been given unto me. Verse 19 says, now go. Which means he's given you the same authority that he had on this planet. Which means you and I have authority over the winds and the waves. Which means that at the name of Jesus, it doesn't matter what demonic attack would come our way, we can't shrink back. We put our face and our hands to the plow, and we make the declaration with the word of God that I will never go back. I am only going forward. I will not shrink back in doubt. I will stand in faith. You see, that exousia is jurisdiction. There's another word in the Bible for power. It's called dunamis. It's called the supernatural power that is released on earth. And everybody wants the dunamis, but they don't live within the exousia. You cannot, listen to me, you cannot have the dunamis without the exousia. The exousia, the jurisdiction, the authority in the name of Jesus releases the supernatural into your situation. And it is released through the power of words. Trouble comes. Well, you know, I guess this is just the way it is. Well, you know, I was hoping that it was going to work. I prayed and I even sowed a little bit of money, but nothing seemed to be happening. Oh, Pastor, you're getting a little freakish now. You know, you're saying that we shouldn't be realist. I'm telling you that the Bible never told us to deny the facts, but he's never told us to declare it either. You're called to declare the truth, not declare facts. Because there are no facts that cannot be overcome by truth. For if God is for you, who can be against you? And when you understand divine authority by supernaturally releasing the power of words in the authoritative declaration, you can literally release the supernatural to change the environment. When I look at my dog, I tell my dog to sit. What does my dog do? Oh, yeah, he sits. Some of you have dogs that don't sit. That means they own you. I learned that from a police dog trainer, actually. When I went to go get my dog trained, this is what he told me. I'm not here to train your dog. I'm here to train you. I said, what do you mean by that? He said, dogs don't see you as a human. Dogs see you as another pack dog. And there's only one alpha. So he took my dog, brought in a great revelation to the dog. Remember, where there is no revelation, you can't live within. And the dog walked perfectly with him around in a circle. Then he hands me the dog with the leash. And he says, now you lead him. My dog laid flat on the ground and I literally dragged him in a complete circle. He mopped the floor with his fur. And he looked at me and he said, that's because he doesn't believe you're his authority. So you can speak, but if you're not the authority, it has no credential. I then convinced my dog that I had the authority. Now my dog, no matter where he is, because he's a hunting dog, he can be in the middle of a field 100 yards away, and if I go like this, he immediately sits. Why is that? I am the authority. When I tell him to sit, he has to do what he's told. Many of us live in this natural world by natural ways when God is saying we are not of this world. When a situation comes into your life, here's practically speaking, watch your mouth. Now, again, it's not that doubt thoughts are not going to come to your head, but you take into captivity every thought and imagination that raises itself up against God. So when the doubts come, you look and you say, in the name of Jesus, I command my mind to come into subjection and I refuse to listen to doubt and unbelief. And then you get into the word, because word builds your faith. Then somebody else comes around and says, oh, I'm so sorry for your loss. And I look at them and say, be quiet. Oh, I don't want to be rude. Yes, you do. There are times you've got to be rude. Because people have been so saturated with how this world runs that the church has adopted the world's mentality instead of the kingdom mentality. If you say to this mountain, do not doubt, you shall have what you ask. So now you're allowing people to come into your life that are speaking doubt and unbelief, that are making you look like, hey, listen now, you're just way out there, space cadet. I don't care what people say. It's not their life. I'm called to live the life of God. I'm called to live successful. I'm called to be a testimony. I'm called to be a blessing. I'm called to prosper and not to wither up when the hard times come. But that does not happen unless I'm guarding my mouth. Can I get an amen? What's coming out of your mouth? When trouble comes your way, when you're having problems with your spouse, when you're having problems with your kid, when you're having problems at work, when something you were believing for just didn't seem to happen, when you're having trouble with your health, when you're having trouble with your mind, what are you speaking to it? What are you saying? Because the creative power of your words is literally placing the seeds that you will harvest for your life. And I don't know about you, but I believe the word of God is true. And I believe that the word of God will set forth the principles of success in my life. And what the word says is this, that no weapon formed against me shall prosper, that God has given me divine favor, that God will go before me. It doesn't matter what weapon is yielded against me, it will not overcome me, that my God is always on my side. And if God is for you, who can be against you? I can't fail. We've got to get a hold of ourselves. When the doctors say one report, say thanks, doc, for your best, but I thank God for the report of the Lord. By his word, by Jesus Christ, I was healed 2,000 years ago on the cross of Jesus. The challenge is making sure that you don't allow doubt to come in. I was just dealing with somebody this morning, and I said, your whole job all day long is just to praise because they're going through a serious mountain. I said, even if your husband comes to you and says, oh, honey, I'm sorry. Say, listen, baby, I love you. Just be quiet. And I said, your job's to praise all day long because that person's allowed doubt to literally drive them. What drives you? Well, you know what drives you because it comes out of your mouth. You know what you believe more than anything else because it comes out of your mouth. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth. When troubles come with your money, you really already are telling people what your faith level is. When problems are coming in your family, you're telling people what your faith problem is. No matter what, I got to hurry. I got to get done. You see, we have the opportunity to participate with the first words of Eve or the first words of God. I didn't say Adam. I said God. The first words of God were creative and blessing. The first words of Eve were agreeing with Lucifer and letting doubt take away faith. Who do you believe more, God or Eve? Who do you live more like, God or Eve? Who do you talk more like, God or Eve? Because that will determine your harvest. So don't get mad at God if your life is a living hell. Change your seed. Speak life and not death. I know you're going to have a baby soon, Jen. Great, listen now. There's a book out there. It's called, I forget the name of the book. Hold on. It's How Not to Have Pain During Delivery. No, really. Remember, you had that book. It's called Supernatural Childbirth. I would encourage you to grab it real quick and read it because you're almost ready. 4 days, dear Jesus, deliver her. Hallelujah. The ladies that have gotten a hold of this book, the Bible says that pain in childbirth was canceled because Christ died on the cross. Now watch, this is what the word says, right? But most women will say, well, no, it's just natural. I've got to be in agony. Well, God bless you. And I'm a man, I would never want to be a woman. I saw it. Jesus. Even if there was no pain, I saw what it does. And I said, God, thank you. But the women that have grabbed a hold of that text and they've laid hold of it have started to decree over their lives, there'll be stretching, there'll be pulling, there'll be discomfort, but no more pain. And people who've read that book have seen phenomenal response. Why? Because they put their faith in the word instead of what everybody and everything else says. The word is above everything. The word is above everything. The word is above everything. I believe the word above everything. I declare the word above everything. I decree his word above all problems. I will stand fast in the declaration of my faith. I will not be moved to the right or to the left. I will fix my eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. I will not be distracted. I will declare the truth, even above facts. I've got to end. You see, if you choose to live with Eve, you've got to choose the harvest of Eve. And the harvest of Eve is thorns, thistles, pain, separation, sweat, and death. Yay! Go, Eve! How many of you want to have, like, pain and separation and thorns and thistles and hell in your life? Shout amen! Find out who's listening. How many of you want to have troubles that overcome you and destroy you and sickness and disease that kills you? Glory to God. Can I hear an amen? I'd be careful with your amen. You might be calling it a joke, but it can activate. Remember, when we get to heaven, we're only judged for two things: our words and our works. What are the words that come out of your mouth? Is it for harvesting thorns, thistles, pain, separation, sweat, and death? Or is it that you will prosper in every area of your life? That's your choice. Not your pastor, not your church, not your religion, not your wife, not your husband, not your children. That is your choice, what words come out of your mouth. Can I hear an amen? Bow your heads with me this morning. I know I've gone long. I really felt like I wanted to go longer. Not after preaching 3 weeks, it's not good for that. Satan knows if he can get you to believe that God's word isn't true, that you can sit in this service and not give your heart to Christ. See, there are many that will end up in the lake of fire, and they'll stand before the white throne judgment, and God will say, I sent you this one, I sent you this one, I sent you this one. And you'll say, well, I wanted to believe it my way. But the Bible declares there's only one way to heaven, and that is to confess Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Today, if you don't know him, today you have the ability with the power of the spoken word and a clear heart to go from death to life, hell to heaven, darkness to light. Today, if you'd like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you'd like to ask him into your life today, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. You're going to be able to live in success and not failure. Is there anyone here that wants to receive Jesus? Get your hand right up this morning. We're going to just pray with you and minister to you. Is there anyone? I'm not going to ask long. 5, 4, get your hand up. 3. Did he raise his hand? You can't raise it for him, baby girl. 2. Come on, get your hand up. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. You can put your hand right back down. Thank you so much. I'm so proud of you. Your life is never going to be the same again from this day forward. Last call. Is there anyone else in the room that wants to give their heart to the Lord? Young baby girl right there. That's good, mama. You can bring her up. These are the things that change children. Even. Anyone else? 1. Father, I thank you that this day, today, God, the only day that we have, the only day that's truly having the ability to live, we ask that today everything will change in our lives as we understand the principles of your word. Help us to guard our mouth. Holy Spirit, we ask for great conviction every time we speak words of death. Every time we believe a fact over the word, we ask that you'll convict us. For Jesus, we want to be kingdom people that move in kingdom power, that activate the supernatural by the power of words. So Jesus, let us at work, let us at home, let us at play be people of life and not death, that this world may see that God is good and not bad. And everybody in agreement said, amen. Let's stand to your feet. I'm going to release a supernatural blessing over your life. Father, I thank you for the power of words. In Jesus' name, I release blessing and not cursing. I release an outpouring of God's Spirit in your life. I bind up the mountains that are trying to tear you down, and I declare that you are free and free indeed. Father, I speak to sickness. I command you to come out in Jesus' name. Lord, I bind the spirit of depression in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that according to your word and the power of the spoken word that those are hearing today, supernaturally things are breaking in their life right now as they stand in this room. Lord, we just bind up anything that would hold us back from your greatness. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Could I just ask those that raised their hand for salvation, if you'll just meet me right here in the front. Can you give them a hand clap as they come this morning? Step right out of your chair, baby girl. Come on down here. Mama, bring your baby. Hallelujah. We love you. Serve God with all of your heart. The prayer team's at the altar. If you have a mountain that you need someone to believe God with you for, make sure you come to the front of the altar and get hands laid on you and minister to.